Bless the Lord. Thank you again, Pastor Fiani. And bless the Lord, everyone. We are so glad to have you with us in service today. And we trust that God will continue to be with you today, being the second Sunday of the month. It's considered in our setting as the men's Sunday. And we pray that all the men who are on the line will receive a blessing from the Lord, and God will continue to be with you as you move from day to day in your different areas. We also are very glad for our sisters who are here. Continue to support us in our meetings, and to God be the glory for you. And this festive season, we hope that together we will really celebrate Christ, because he's worthy to be praised. Amen. The portion of scripture that was read, we are going to take a look at it as we ponder over a few things there. And we would like to invite all of us to try to find a Bible, or even if you're using your phone Bible, we're going to ask you if you could just turn the pages with us and see what the Lord is saying, even at this time. We have here a servant of God called Zechariah. And Zechariah was not a young person. And this is one of the areas that we're going to focus on today, age. Zechariah was by no means a young person. And there are two sections here in this passage that was read where it speaks to the age of Zechariah, not in terms of the amount of years, but indicate that he was a whole man. And so we will eventually look on some more details concerning him as he had that encounter with the angel. But the topic today that we are going to study on is God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. In recent times, we seem to have in the news, in fact, it might be even on a daily basis that we have in the news, the word age. It keeps coming up from time to time, as it has to do with, especially in this election season, people running for office. And it comes up in negative term at times. And there are times it comes up in positive terms to say that experience goes with the age. But it is certainly in the news today, and you're going to hear it tomorrow, next week, and the other week, and you will continue to hear it. But in regards to age, we would like to see how God deals with this, to what extent it does hinder someone from serving in God's cabinet. And that is where the focus is going to be today as we look on this passage. So the topic once again is, God is not finished with you yet, as we continue to look on this passage before us. Notice what happened here. Zechariah was burning incense, which was his role in the temple. And while he was in there burning this incense in the temple, the word tells us that an angel came and stand on the right side of the temple. The angel's name was Gabriel. He came, stood at the right side of the temple. And the word tells us that the servant of God became very afraid. And after all, who wouldn't? This was unusual. This was not the ordinary day of worship in the temple. This is something new. In fact, when you look on the scriptures, you discover that there were 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between Malachi and Matthew. The communication between heaven and earth was at an all-time low in terms of verbal communication. 400 years of silence. And that 400 years of silence is now about to be broken. As Gabriel, as Gabriel was dispatched from heaven into the temple to talk to God's servant. And so this is one of the reasons why Zechariah was so afraid. And he was wondering, what is going on here? So he was told by the angel, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am sent here from God. The importance of knowing that God is involved in what you're doing makes a tremendous difference. Makes a tremendous difference. He assured him that everything is going to be all right. And then he went on to say to him, your prayers are heard. Your prayers, they were not just praying at this time. They had prayed long ago. The word tells us that he and his wife had no children. And they prayed that God would bless them with a child. The word tells us that Elizabeth's womb, she was barren. And to compound the whole issue at this time, they were both stricken in age. And you could consider it a mission impossible. But yes, this news came from heaven to God's servant as he was working for God in the church. A whole man. A whole man. Working for God in the church. Not staying home drinking coffee and every now and then goes on TBN. But find his way to the house of God, burning incense in the most solemn type of way, in the inner sanctuary. And there God appeared unto him with a message. Now, what was that message? That message is that your wife, Elizabeth, who is barren and now stricken in age, is going to bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And then the angel went on to say a few more things. But I would like to point out to us that when verse 18 said, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man. The second time age is going to be mentioned here. The first time is in verse 7, where it says, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they both were well stricken in age. The second time, age was being mentioned here. Because in Zechariah's mind, it has restricted him to achieve so much things, especially bearing a child. That's why he pointed it out to the angel. But what is impossible with men is very much possible with God.
Amen.
So having heard, Zechariah responded to the angel and bring up the age issue. Bring up the age issue. He was conscious of his own position, especially in light of the news that just came. He was forced, he was compelled to bring up the age, to point out to Zechariah that this don't look like me. Then I like what the angel respond to him and said. The angel respond to him and said, I am Gabriel. And I would love the church to just stop there for a minute and listen to the reply. The angel of the Lord said unto him, I am Gabriel. Does that mean anything to you, Zechariah? My name is Gabriel. Who is Gabriel? Who is Gabriel? Gabriel is one of the three frontline angels in heaven. In fact, one of them have violated the law of God, and God had to kick him out. But that leave Gabriel and Michael. Lucifer was among these three core angels, and God had to deal with him. And Gabriel and Michael are the two archangels in heaven that are at the front line of God's messengers. And Gabriel said to God's servant here, I am Gabriel. That stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Whatever I say will come to pass. That's why the emphasis is on I am Gabriel. Whatever I say to you will come to pass.
Amen.
And Zechariah, as a result of unbelief, even at that point, caused Gabriel to do something extraordinary. You see, unbelief will never derail the program of God. It will only bring out the wisdom of God. It will only bring out the ability of God to accomplish his own purpose. So what did Gabriel do here in order to make sure that unbelief does not create a problem? He said, you shall be dumb. You will not be able to speak another word until this child arrives. So before Gabriel exited, Zachariah became dumb. Not able to speak again until John came. Two things we see here. God's plan cannot be forfeit. And God can use the impossible to bring about his purpose. It must be of God and not of you. Or not of me. It must be said, it must be accomplished, it must be understood that it is of God and not of us. But God is not finished with you yet. And I said you, meaning you, plural. Because if you, right now, if you take a census of the, on the Christian landscape, you are going to find that the real core of believers, of Bible believers, are those who are more advanced in age. The younger people will gravitate to church. Yes, they will make decisions for the Lord. Yes, but that settled mind in the Lord is going to come from a higher age group. Secured in God and will weather the storm here and there so as to maintain the relationship with the Lord. You're going to find that the higher the age group is the stronger the conviction in the Lord. I'm glad to know that today we have reached a place where we discover that it is not really of us, but it is of the Lord to work out his own purpose.
Amen.
So I'm going to briefly look on four other characters that the Lord used to achieve his purpose, who from generally speaking would be over their time, so to speak. The first one we'd like to look at is Abram. And we are going to do these briefly because we are against time here. Abram, if you read Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 4, you're going to discover, especially in verse 4, it says that Abram was 75 years old when God called him. 75 years old when God called him to come out from his kindred. And God told him that he is going to, in fact, when you look on verse 2 and 3, you will see where God said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bring you here. I will do this to you. I will. It is God who is demonstrating that I will. Verse 2 said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God call him at 75. And God make it clear to him, look, Abram, it is not of you, but it is of me to accomplish this. I will. Age makes no difference here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What confidence to walk with the Lord. And Abraham pack up his things and follow the Lord as he walked towards his calling and accomplish his purpose in God, because God called him at a whole age and said to him, look, I will. We take a look at Moses. God called Moses at 80 years old. God called Moses at 80 years old and told him that I will send you to Pharaoh. I will send you to Pharaoh. Look at Exodus 4 here. Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Because all of these things came to Moses' mind. I am not eloquent. Neither herefore, now since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who make the dumb, or the deaf, or the seen, and the or the blind? Have not I the Lord? The Lord was making clear to the brother that, look, that does not concern me. Your complaint does not concern me here. And verse 10 of Exodus chapter 3 is where the Lord sent him. Verse 10 says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God said, I will send thee. Telling the 80-year-old that I will. It is I who will do it. And as Moses complained that he is a man of slow speech, God questioned, who is it that make mouth? If I cannot cause you to speak. It is not of you, but it is of God. And I'm saying to those of us who are here, God is not finished with you yet. God only wants a vessel that is available. A vessel that is available for him to use. Mm-hmm. Let's look on another and see what is happening here. Let's look on Caleb. Caleb brings confidence in the word of God. Moses, he brought willingness. Abraham brought faith. Each of them brings something to the table that God can use. Each of them have something that they brought to the table that God can use. So age is not really a factor. But let's look on Caleb for a second. And that is Joshua chapter 14. And I read just two verses from Joshua 14. I encourage you to read chapter 14 from 6 to verse 15 when you get the chance. But I will just read two verses here, and that is 11 and 12 of Joshua chapter 14. As yet I am strong this day as I was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, way of God spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day all the Anakim were there, and that city were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Listen to what happened. 40 years ago, Moses sent spies to spy out the promised land. And Caleb was one of them. And of all those who came back, it was only Caleb and Joshua bring positive news to Moses. The rest said that we cannot manage to take out the inhabitants of that land because they are so big. But Caleb and Joshua determined that we can win that war. And the Lord spoke through Moses at the time and said unto him, look, tell Caleb and Joshua that I will give them everywhere that their feet are trod in that promised land for an inheritance. And it turned out that many years passed. In fact, 40 years passed. Now Caleb is 85 years old. He is 85 years old, and God called him at this point. And he called Joshua and said, Joshua, look, remember what the Lord had said, that wherever my feet trod in the promised land, he was going to give it to me as an inheritance. At 85, I feel as strong as I was then. I feel that I can take on the mission that needs to be accomplished here on behalf of God, because I believe God's word then, and it is applicable now. At 85 years old, I am ready to raise war, to defend what God had promised 40 years ago. So I am saying to the church this morning, despite everything, age will not hinder. Age will not hinder the progress and the practice and the purpose of God. Caleb at 85 was ready to wage war to defend the word of God as it came to him 40 years ago. So I'm saying to us this morning in this service, God is not finished with you yet. God can use you to accomplish his purpose. He uses Abraham at 75 years old. And in fact, Abraham died at the age of 175. Moses died at the age of 120. Caleb's age here is 85. When God called him to possess a piece of land in a mountain. God is not finished with you yet. God can use you to accomplish his purpose. The next person we will look on as an example who brings something to the table where age is not a factor is Simeon. Simeon in Luke chapter 2. And there are many more examples I could have used. But for the sake of time, I will only concentrate on these four for this morning. Simeon brings patience to the table. We find that the word tells us in St. Luke chapter 2 that Simeon, while his age was not is not mentioned here, he was an old man. He was a very old man. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, meaning he was waiting for the arrival of the Messiah. And it was told to him in his age and waiting that he should not, he will not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. And he waited. He brings patience to the table. And God used him to great effect to accomplish his purpose. Hear what happened when he eventually went to the temple to meet God's promise. St. Luke chapter 2, verse 28. I read from verse 28 to verse 32. Simeon entered the temple, then took he up in his arm, meaning Jesus, the newborn babe, and blessed God and said, Lord, lettest now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou art prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Hallelujah! God used a whole man to confirm the arrival of Jesus in the temple. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet, but he can use you to accomplish his purpose.
Amen.
Simeon said, let us know thy servant depart in peace, meaning he is a whole man. Allow me now, Lord, to die, because I have seen my heart desire. It has come to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is God and not us. We need to remember that. God had his plan in the works, and he is working out his purpose, and he's using different individuals to accomplish this purpose at different stages, as far as we know it. Those are four characters that God uses to bring truth to pass so that he be glorified. Mm-hmm. So what is it that Zechariah brought to the table? Zechariah brought consistency. He brought consistency to the table. He, at this old age, as David McDowell described it, stricken in age, he was still burning incense. Still working the purpose of God. And the Bible declared, as we read earlier, that both he and his wife were righteous. That is a good testimony to have coming from the mouth of the Lord. They were both righteous. And they were, the Bible even went further by saying that they were blameless. Verse 6 of Luke chapter 1. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Consistent. excellency is what he brought to the table. And God used him, a stricken in age, to accomplish his goal. He's not finished with you yet. Chances are many of us here can identify with these servants of God. The message is, God is not finished with you yet. Continue to burn your incense. Hallelujah. Continue to wait upon the Lord. Continue to live up to the ordinances of the Lord. God is not finished with you yet. And there are three rewards that we see here that Zechariah received as a result of all this. We are told from the word that Zechariah was dumb leading up to the birth of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is supposed to be the forerunner of Jesus. God's operation was coming into focus in terms of the new covenant. And here is where the whole thing started. And so this son, John the Baptist, would go before Jesus and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. That was the purpose of John, a special child in this regard. And I'm going to read a section here where Zechariah's mouth was open. And this is St. Luke chapter 1, and we jump over to verse 65. St. Luke chapter 1, verse 60. Let's start at 64. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loose, and he praised God. Benefit or reward number one. After the birth of his son, he was given a pen when they were naming the child. And after he received the pen, he wrote that his name should be called John. You will see that in verse 60. In verse 60 says, and his mother answered and said, no, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of this kindred that is called by this name. And they made sign to his father how he would call him. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled at all. But 64, and his mouth was open immediately. After writing down John's name, his mouth was open immediately after 9 months. Not being able to speak, his mouth now was open. What is the first thing? What is the first reward that he received after his mouth was open and his son was born? The reward of the ability to worship. This is the first thing that Zechariah embarked on.
a period of worship. You hear me and Pastor Fiani and many other sisters in these services from time to time emphasizing the importance of worshiping God. In fact, the psalmist tells us that we should worship him not for what he did, but worship him simply because he is God. And then the psalmist went further by saying, if you don't find anything to worship him for, just remember his benefits and then stop to worship.
Yes.
Here, Zechariah, here he bursts out with a commission of worship and praise, recognizing that despite his old age, God is able to use him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God deserves to be worshipped, considering his goodness towards us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful work towards the children of men, says the psalmist. Zechariah bursts out in this acclamation of worship and praise because he deserves to be worshipped. My tongue is loose.
Yeah.
My tongue is loose. I can worship the Lord. I can praise the Lord. I can glorify the Lord. I can say thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be the father of a child that we were waiting for so long. And he's no arrived. His name is John. A time for worship. A time for worship. I oftentimes say, if we ever think about the different things that God has shielded us from during a particular day or a particular week, if God has ever turned the curtain and said to us, look what I have shielded you from, we would at that point bow our knees and worship him. But he didn't have to tell us. He didn't have to tell us. He's just working on our behalf. And Zechariah realized the importance of this blessing, and he burst out in worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we are living in a season where it is a time for giving. It is a time for reflection on the goodness of God. It is a time when we give God the glory for the gift to humanity of the person in the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a time of praise. It's a time of worship. It's a time of thanksgiving. Worship in the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The first benefit the brother received is worship. And then we look and see something else here that he also received. He received the anointing. He received the anointing. If you look on verse 65 and 66 here, and fear came on all that dwell round about them. And all these sayings were nice about throughout all the ear country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them upon their heart, saying, what manner of child this be? And the head and the hand of the Lord was with him. As a result of the anointing of the Lord that came upon the brother, it creates an effect throughout the region, right throughout the ends of Judea. Everyone was glued to what was happening in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And but especially the anointing that come upon the brother at a very old age. At a very old age, church. The anointing and God's servant affect the entire community. So that it reaches the heart of the people. That is what the word just tells us. And I am saying to us, when it is God, regardless of how old the person is, the presence of the Lord is going to be felt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's servant was filled with the anointing of the presence of the Lord. No wonder he worshiped. And I want to say to the church that sometimes when we worship the Lord and in the atmosphere of worship in the Lord, the anointing can be so strong. Amen. That it leads us in a higher dimension, which we will see in a minute. It takes us to a higher dimension in God. And where is it coming from? It is coming from a time of worship and praise. Here, coming out of worship and praise with Zechariah, the anointing became so strong on him that it was nigh around, and everyone's heart was affected as a result of the presence of the Lord. We need this type of revival. We need this type of awakening in our midst and throughout this country. And the third benefit that he received there, we are told in verse 67, and Zechariah and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. What a blessing. Three rewards for his faithfulness. Three rewards for his consistency. Three rewards. But by being obedient to the ordinances of the Lord, he was now filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as a result of being filled with the Holy Ghost, God used him in a further dimension where God used him here to prophesy. To prophesy. To speak about what John would do, his son. What this young man would grow up to be. And what is his station and purpose in life. And to speak of the coming Messiah as well in his prophecy. If you read the remaining chapter from 27, right down until 80, you will discover the depth of the prophecy and what it entails as regards to John, his now son, and Jesus, the coming Messiah. John, when he was grown, and they sent messengers to him according to St. John chapter 1. They sent messenger to him, St. John chapter 1, asking John, who are you? Who are you? John said, and they asked him if he was the Messiah. And John declared to them, no, I am not the Messiah. I am one who is sent on before him, preparing the way of the Lord. And Zechariah prophesied to this end and said the same thing. God rewarded him by giving him the ability to worship. God rewarded him by giving him the anointing that touches the heart of his household and his entire community. Now God blessed him also with by filling him with the blessed Holy Spirit so that he was able to prophesy. I tell you this, church, and I tell you this, members, God is not finished with you yet. God can use you to accomplish his purpose. And as Zechariah complained that he was old, Moses complained that he could not speak. He was not eloquent. I wonder today, what is your complaint? What is your complaint? That God cannot use me because of. God cannot use me because of. What is it that you think is hindering God from using you? I want to say to you today, whatever you think might be the hindrance for God not using you, God has the ability to use you. Moody, we all talk about Moody's College. Moody was not an eloquent man in terms of the English language. That is well documented. He dropped out of school long before the time. But God used the brother. God used the brother to accomplish his purpose. And today we hear that Moody's College is rated among the best in the world. The best in the world. Among the best in the world. In turning out stewards for God. In turning out servants for God. God used him despite.
Amen.
What is it that is your problem? That God cannot use you. God can use you to great effect to accomplish his purpose. It is not of you, it is of God. God is not finished with you yet. Many said because of their age, they can't do this, they can't do that, they can't do this. God demonstrate to us in no uncertain way this morning that he can use you if you make yourself available to accomplish his purpose. The anointing that reaches Zechariah affects the community after his tongue was loosed. God used him to bring a man in the world that would go before Jesus and proclaim the way of the Messiah.
Amen.
God can use you too in your different setting. In your different setting, make yourself available. And you know the area in which the Holy Spirit is speaking to you of, that you can be used by God. You know that. Just be willing to be used by him. Moses at that time wasn't thinking about God. God had to get his attention by way of the burning bush. Abraham wasn't thinking about God. He was thinking about riches in his father's house. Caleb, at that point, he was not thinking so much that God would bring up after 40 years. The thought of him believe in the word of God and go ahead and claim his inheritance. God deposited the thought in his in his mind, in his spirit. Simeon was waiting like everybody else for the coming Messiah. Like everybody else. But God saw something in the brother. And God told him, you are not going to see death until you have seen the Lord's Christ. And what of Zechariah? For him, it was another day at the office, burning incense. But the Lord dispatched Gabriel to him, and it changes the old picture for the rest of his life. God can use you to accomplish his purpose. Make yourself available. Age is no barrier to God's purpose. Make yourselves available. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you this day for causing us to see something that we probably overlook. The fact that you have the ability to do just about anything, and you can use any one of us to accomplish that purpose. Every person, Lord, that are listening right now on these telephone lines, Lord God, we pray that the Holy Spirit will visit the heart and to show us where it is that we can make ourselves available for the use of God and apply to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm ready to be used by you. It might not be in the way he uses Moses. Might not be the way he uses Abram. It might not be the way he uses Caleb or Simeon or even Zechariah. But they are, your ways are manifold, Lord. There are different things in your vineyard that we can do. Take our inefficiency and turn it into your sufficiency, Lord, so that you can be glorified, we pray. Father, I pray your blessing upon every member right now, every listener, every person that considers God their God, that you will do something and use us to bring honor and glory to your name. In this festive season where our attention is on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, let it be a profitable moment for us, Lord, so that we can be used to accomplish something for you. We ask in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.